we're listening to Dhamma again and many times in Perfections and in Nina's books. There's this idea that just listening to Dhamma in itself is kusala. And for me personally, everything I do is rooted with so much lobha, so I don't understand why listening to Dhamma is kusala.
At moment of understanding, not at moment of wanting to have more understanding,
is when there's lobha, and that's always for me. No, often. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
But even now, we've been listening for quite a long time. And kusala, akusala, different kinds of cittas, yeah. Moments of seeing, moments of hearing, moments of ignorance, many moments of attachment. Yeah. So I don't think there's any suggestion that during this hour there are only kusala moments. I think it just means that moments of true listening with understanding, those moments.
So the point of listening to Dhamma is not for having less akusala or having more kusala, but just to understand realities. Otherwise, stand by lobha again, for itself.
I want less kusala.
Well, yeah.
We never said, I want less visible object.
But can one say that regardless of whether there's wanting or not wanting, that with the development of understanding, there is a natural lessening of akusala?
Or who knows?
No point in thinking about.
If there is right understanding, it works its way.
Can one know one's accumulation?
Not coming to a conclusion, but that's what right understanding does.
One can know when panya arises that is accumulated to be conditioned for isurancy. But what about akusala after that?
We don't know what conditions there'll be from time to time.
It could be like a big lake and the akusala is only a small island, not so much
the dome and just a few openings.
It's hard to say whether akusala is really. That's why when people try to weigh themselves and they're expecting to see big changes in their personality, right? That's how they judge their progress in Buddhism. It's not the right way, is it?
But what about, for example, if understanding is developed enough to a stage of being sotapanna, then one could say there is less akusala because certain akusala doesn't arise at that point.
Wrong view.
No wrong view. So that must.
Well, wrong view. Maybe we can say that if one's listening to Dhamma properly and wisely, there should be less wrong view. That would become apparent, I guess, right?
And less wrong view conditioning, less akusala kamapata.
Can you say there would be, or can we only say there?
What kind of wrong view?
Yeah, I think we might be going too far to say listening to the Dhamma and development of understanding at the Bariyati level means a lessening of wrong view. It might. And yet there could be conditions for no more understanding to arise for some time.
But it doesn't matter. What's accumulated is accumulated.
That's right. But there's still accumulations for wrong view, which may arise more often than understanding. Before the stage of sotapanna? Not the gross wrong view?
It must be lessening, right? Before sotapanna can be reached.
Yes.
Wrong
yes.
view has been...
Yes.
Less and less taking of Dhamma's force, utter.
Goes wrong view, like paying respect to the tree.
Okay, on that level, I agree. The animist in us.
Or thinking that things just happened by chance and the universe and so on was just made by chance occurrences.
Yes, I can see how at that level there would be less. But it's so subtle.
But that
isn't subtle, but it is so subtle, it can be so subtle.
One can see the more subtle than just the gross one, like the attachment to the self, or to kusala, or to panya.
There was a story in one of your books about the man in his 80s who came to the foundation from the countryside because he wanted to do dana, and I think you mentioned that as an example of kusala. But again, I thought, well, maybe he was motivated by fear, maybe he was...
You don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just say something generally, oh, that's kusala to karma, that's result of karma, but it's just speaking conventionally, as you say,
because
different cheetahs.
Even right now, we don't know what moment is and who's that.
No.
One thing I'm interested in, I've always had an interest in the idea of helping people, and it seems like I live in Japan where there's so many people who are depressed and suffering from neuroses, and I just feel the Dhamma could help them so much. And I wonder how you feel. You teach and you're on the radio, I think, on TV. Do you feel that you're getting through to people? Do you have any sense that you're helping people in your teaching?
No need to think about that.
I know it's just a story, but that's my favorite story.
Because usually I don't think too much about such things.
Why think about the effect? I don't understand.
It's not my point to know about what
just the teaching the best you can. Yeah. When I came to Thailand, I felt, I'm going to a real Buddhist country. And then I saw people worshipping the tree and things like that. And I guess I thought in Japan that Buddhism was in decline, but I guess everywhere.
Everywhere.
Japanese people have accumulations. Mm. They can understand about rebirth immediately, so it makes sense to them about everything has a cause and effect.
Better than none.
Better than nothing. They've got a little bit already, a little bit basis in the culture.
And when you said about Mulonita Sotapanna would wrong view of self or wrong views be eradicated, but even at the first stage of insight, namas and rupas are understood as anatta,
yes.
And even at second stage, no doubt about conditioned realities,
yes,
as conditioned, no doubt at all,
yes.
About the past.
The less doubt there is, the less the wrong views would arise.
Right.
Oh, here's one thing I like, Dajahn, and again, this seems very conventional to me, but it's something I do. The teachers have all said that the monk should scrutinize himself 3 times daily. Thus, in the morning, he should consider to what extent he still has defilements. If he sees that he still has defilements, he should strive to get rid of them. And at the end of every day, I look at that day and I think of some conduct that I've done or haven't done. But it really sounds very different from what you always say.
By conditions.
It's natural for me. I've always been that way. So that's my natural accumulations to do that sort of thing.
But with understanding or no understanding?
Well, who knows? There's probably some understanding in there.
But it's not the direct understanding yet. That's why
no.
We know that it should be developed.
I mean, just to be able to reflect on conduct that day, we can't be thinking of present dhammas when we're thinking of what we did during
and
the day.
And after listening to dhamma more and more, then it turns to understand reality right there, instead of just seeing in terms of self or I.
You said when we're thinking about what we did in a day, we can't...
We're looking back on conventional actions.
Right, but that's
we can't think about what cheetahs were involved at that point.
No, not thinking about cheetahs. No. But there can be understanding at that moment of whatever appears while thinking about...
Well, we're thinking about concepts about what we did that day. That's
right.
But they still
thinking,
a thinking process.
Still thinking and still cheetah.
But that's not the point of this practice.
For,
well,
for the monk who's very sincere, that will condition direct insight. That
but I would think if that's done without some understanding, then it is the self talking about
joy,
what the self
sure.
has accomplished or not
sure.
accomplished.
So,
or
Ajahn was saying about self.
Yeah.
People listen to Buddhism and can turn it into a self thing.
Yeah. I love the story of Phil. But that's not going to change. I just love my story, and I think it's a great project. And that's not going to change. But at least gradually understanding can develop within that, I know. But I'm not going to stop thinking about the story of Phil and what kind of person I'm becoming. That's not going to change.
But would you stop if you wanted to stop?
No, of course
right?
not. Yeah.
But that's okay, it's just accumulation. So whether or not we're thinking about transgressions in the day or anything else, there can be awareness and understanding at those moments too. So it's not a matter of not thinking that way, but developing or understanding.
I think that's a very honest look at it. I think we all, to some extent, love the story of ourselves. That's why, from time to time, one protects oneself with little white lies, or maybe bigger ones, or it's all about the self. I think, hopefully, with more understanding, there is less interest in the story of oneself.
But when one sees it, what is better than that? It can condition or interest in
saying. Yeah. It's a little bit like at lunchtime when there was some discussion about understanding lobha and dosa and ignorance, but everyone knows what attachment is or anger is, but usually it's just taken for one's own, so it's not actually the understanding of lobha or dosa as dharmas. And when there's a beginning of understanding of lobha and dosa as dharmas, it's much more interesting than one's own lobha or one's own dosa.
One thing I do find, and have thought before, that sometimes when listening to the talks, or maybe on the list, I'd hear people saying, well, just a lot of mana, and how do you know? It always seems like just speculating about dharmas. And
well, it's a reminder.
Well, it's still speculation of something you don't really know.
But can we work as a reminder
about
the Kusala?
So when it's not speculation?
When it's not speculation, there's understanding.
Directly.
Yeah. But maybe all this speculation could be blocking the real, because you're creating, by saying just a lot of mana, that's a story about yourself too. But because it has a paramatta feel to it, it might feel to be, oh, well, this is more paramatta, it's more close to direct understanding, but it's still thinking about concepts, about paramatta dhammas, it seems to me.
When there's the understanding of the direct awareness, it can condition moment of direct awareness, but when there's no understanding of it yet, there's no condition for isarasi.
John, what do you mean by when there's understanding of direct awareness?
For example now, there is seeing, we are talking about seeing, but no direct understanding of its nature, which is now sees. Yes. It sees now. That which sees is a reality. That which hears, sound can appear only when there is hearing, and that which hears is just a moment of an element to arise and hear it by conditions.
I think also, Phil, that the more understanding develops and the more interest there is in dharmas, the less concern one really is in why someone else says something. Like if someone makes a comment, mana, and whether they say it out of ignorance or with wisdom, it doesn't really matter, because all that can be known are our own cheetahs.
And that because I know of the, I would have the same tendency to want to paramatticize my thinking. Mm-hmm. And because the objects of the thinking are related to paramatta dhammas, it might feel deeper, it might feel truer, but it's still just thinking about concepts. Though, of course, they're concepts about realities rather than concepts of concepts. Right, there are two kinds of concepts, I think, right? Concepts that refer to realities and concepts about concepts. So at least we're getting closer to reality when we're thinking about paramatta dhammas.
When we talk about the six dhammas, concept about six dhammas, not story about it really.
Don't you think concepts about realities would be an aspect of pariyatti?
It depends.
That's why when we talk about the six dhammas, whether there is interest in it or not, when there's no interest, it means that it's only the accumulation for stories. Mm-hmm.
Jan, I wonder if you would help to clarify about nimitta.
Now?
Mm-hmm. Nimitta
appears, is nimitta. And because the arising and falling away so rapidly, the succession of the rapidity conditioned the sign or nimitta of that particular reality. For example, no matter which unit of visible object has arisen and fallen away, but keeps on arising and falling away, so it forms up the nimitta, the sign of it as something which can be seen. That's why whenever there is seeing, it sees people and thing and sign of everything, so rapid like that. So we live in the rapidity of sign, of the arising and falling of reality.
And that is for all doorways?
Mm, all doorways. So that's why it's covered up.
Yes, yeah. I think that's what I'm trying to get to.
The metta covers it up? The rapidity covers it up? Or?
The rapidity, the metta, covers up the truth of reality which arises and falls away.
So the moment of visible object appearing, does that mean that it is less frequent because there is so much nimitta?
No one can really directly experience that particular one because so many now to form up the idea and sign for this event to be known as people and things.
So,
but since it's a reality which can be seen, so Panya develops by beginning to understand, to see that whatever is seen cannot be anyone at all. Only memory and thinking condition the idea of something and someone out of it all the time. So one lives in the world of nimitta, of everything. Even citta, vijnana, is vijnana nimitta, and rupa nimitta, sanya nimitta, vedana nimitta, sankhara nimitta. So before there can be the develop understanding to really understand the nature of each one. It's not each particular one, but the nimitta of each one.
Could you explain vedana nimitta? So nimitta about feeling.
Because each one's so
short.
No one can know that. But when it succeeds on and on and on, it appears as that particular feeling.
So how can we consider nimitta in terms of object? Is nimitta object of object of thinking?
It can be object of understanding as visible object, not as people and thing.
But as nimitta?
As nimitta of that characteristic.
Characteristic of visible object. Mm-hmm.
I mean, no idea of nimitta.
No, but also not mistaking that for a moment of visible object.
Mm-hmm. Why not the nimitta of visible object would be visible?
How many moments?
Because it's
different. Not single moment.
Not single moment.
But understanding satipatthana is the object is also nimitta.
There is touching. Heart disappear. Doesn't it arise and fall away?
Yes.
Who knows? Only heart disappear.
Yes. So.
At the moment of understanding the
nimitta, at the moment of understanding the characteristic, there's no concern about whether it is visible object or nimitta. At that moment, it's just understanding of the characteristic.
That which is seen, just in the case of visible object,
just
that which is.
It's not known yet.
Right.
Is it because two realities, the reality that understands and the reality that is understood, can't arise at the same moment, so the reality they understands the nimitta?
It depends on whether it's rupa or nama.
Could you explain a bit more,
because
please?
Because rupa lasts for 17 moments of citta, so citta arises and falls away faster.
It's a difficult topic.
Just understand, for understanding, not for trying to know it. Even to understand that what appears now is only visible object, it's not easy at all.
No.
But it's true. So one can know how much ignorance and attachment is there. Without the beginning to understand it, there is no way to experience the arising and falling away of realities.
Ajahn, in relation to, eye consciousness, eye consciousness does not have the heart base as its base, is that right?
In the plane of five khandas, the citta cannot arise outside of the rupa, of the kaya.
How does that affect how we understand that?
No need to think about it, because you see that at this moment without the eye base, citta cannot arise and see. Without the visible object which impinge on it, citta cannot arise. Without jetasika, Chittakara arise. So all these are ayatana. They have to be there. At moment of anything appears, do we know the eye base now? Even there must be. Do we know the jetasikas which arise with seeing? And do we understand the visible object which appears as that which can be seen only out of all realities? There's only one reality that can be seen. So in reality, we can say we live in dark world, all in darkness. Only that which appears can be seen.
The dark chitta, I remember you talking about that.
All
it was very
in darkness.
Interesting.
Hearing in darkness.
Every chitta except yeah. seeing.
Yeah.
Sound in darkness. Only visible object can be seen. Mm-hmm.
But seeing itself is dark.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The only chitta that sees anything, that experiences anything other than dark.
And but that's the truth. Thinking about living in darkness all the time. No understanding that we live like we know. We see and we think about
all the time.
Everything mm-hmm. as they are so real, but actually only in darkness.
That's a life-changing understanding. Well, life-changing is too strong, but it's so good to hear something like that and reflect
to know the
on
truth.
It. Yeah.
I'm not sure when it was, but the idea of courage came up.
Mm.
And so courage relates to that notion of...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Do you have friends in darkness? Do you have home in darkness? Nothing.
But we don't have home in light either. Invisible object, there's no home.
Azita has many times spoken very eloquently about the need to believe from the beginning there's no Nina or there's no... And I've said that it's too soon for us to understand that. And... I still don't know.
So it never arises.
Always putting off.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the alternative?
Well, I think, again, I feel that concepts tend to direct our lives and can direct our lives in good directions. So having concepts about people that we care for and want to protect can help to create wholesome conditions, more attachment.
Mm.
Mm.